We're getting started in the book of Romans. So here again are the verses out of chapter 1 after introductory welcome greeting from the Apostle Paul. Verses that set the stage and state the theme for all that he's going to talk about in the next 15 chapters. So here's Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Romans is going to be about the gospel, the good news. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. We talked a little bit about that last week. That revelation of God's own righteousness. And the gospel, that good news, is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says that the good news is news of salvation. Of course, news of salvation is good news only if and only when you need to be saved, right? If you didn't need to be saved, news of salvation probably wouldn't be too interesting. You're probably not too interested in a big sale on women's shoes if you don't need or want women's shoes, right? So good news of the power of God and salvation, not much needed if you don't need to be saved. So the opening chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans is going to show us that we need to be saved, that we need salvation. The main point will be that we need salvation because of our sin, because of the consequences of our sin. That's why we need to be saved. Because we're sinners. Paul will conclude that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Gentiles fall short, Jews fall short. So salvation is needed by all. And Paul's going to talk about in those opening chapters about what sin is and about the consequences that we reap from sin. We are going to get some pretty serious discussion. He talks about all that sin stuff. He's going to talk about the wrath of God that's revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. He's going to talk about the presence of sin, about the working of sin in the human person. He'll talk about the darkness and the perversity, the lostness, the wickedness that sin results in the human person. Paul's discussion of sin is going to include a few verses of theological reflection on homosexuality. That, of course, is a huge hot button issue in our time. And it's extremely difficult in our day to do anything except get burned by hot issues. So when we tackle that issue of what Paul says, so long as theological, it's the only place actually in Scripture where homosexuality is framed in a theological context. But that's a very difficult and hot issue in our time. But Paul's going to talk about it as he talks about sin. But before we work through those chapters of sin, that very serious discussion that hopefully will show us all that we need salvation, I just want us to notice. I want you to notice today what it means to be saved. What happens when you're saved? What effects, what outcomes happen when a person gets saved? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What happens to a person? They get saved. We haven't yet established whether they need to be. But what happens? I just want you to notice what happens to somebody when they get saved. I think that scriptures represent being saved as a really cool thing. It's a pretty wonderful, pretty amazing thing to have a person have saved. We often reduce the issue of salvation down to going to heaven when you die. The question, are you saved, becomes almost synonymous with the question, will you go to heaven when you die? So if you ask somebody, are you saved? If they say no, your next response is you're not going to go to heaven when you die. If they say, yes, I am saved, you're going to go to heaven when you die. Those things become synonymous. Salvation then becomes a kind of life insurance. We need it someday, and when we need it, we'll be very glad it's there, of course. You'll be glad it's there when you die. But until then, salvation, being saved, doesn't have much effect or influence. I mean, you can't look at people, can you, and tell they have life insurance. You can't go, just watch Emily for a few minutes. You can tell she has a good policy. Probably whole life. 1.5, maybe 2 million. Just watch her. You can tell. She's just got a great life insurance policy. You can't do that, can you? She has that, and then she comes to have need of it, she'll be glad that she has it, but you can't tell by looking at her or watching her that whether or not she has life insurance. The scriptures don't portray being saved as being similar to having life insurance. You can't tell by looking, but Ramona's going to go to heaven when she dies. You can't tell by looking because it doesn't have any outward effects or any results or any happenings, but she's saved. So she's going to go to heaven when she dies. Scriptures don't portray salvation that way. Scripture portrays being saved as coming with significant benefits and significant effects. I think if you follow saved people around for a bit, you know, you can just watch them, observe them, and listen to them. You should be able to tell that that person, that man, that woman, has been saved from some things. Just watch her. You can tell she's been saved from some things. She acts like she's been rescued. Like the snare is broken and that she's escaped. That her help is in the name of the Lord. Just watch how she lives and how she talks. Just listen to him. Just watch him, and you can tell that he thinks all of his enemies have been drowned in the sea, and that the Lord delivered him with a great deliverance, all his enemies. He acts like he's been saved from something. I think if you follow a saved person around, you should be able to tell that that person has been saved too. Some things, not just saved from things, rescued from some things, but saved to some things. You know, you watch a person who claims to be saved, and they just seem like they're in a really secure, wonderful place. They just have an assurance and confidence. You watch a saved person, it looks like that person has access to many new things, to many good things. The good things just keep coming bubbling. Well, that's what saved people have. They have a lot of good things. They have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. The song says kind of thing. If the gospel, if the good news has come to you, if the gospel's been received by you, believed in by you, if the power of God unto salvation is present with you, is working in you, what can that salvation do for you? What does it do for you? What does it do for your life? What does it do for your living of life? So I want to just think about that. What does it mean to be saved? What happens when a person gets saved? What happens when you get saved? Is it simply we can't tell anything except we're pretty confident when you die you're going to go to heaven? Or if we watched you, listened to you, and followed you around, can we say, you know, you've been saved from some things, haven't you? Other things get to people, but you've somehow been saved from them. And can be taken hold of some new things. New things came in with the salvation that you taste and know and walk in, speak about. Earlier we read Psalm 103 and encouraged us not to forget the benefits. So I want us to think just for a few minutes. It's not going to be a comprehensive or exhaustive list of everything that comes with salvation. I just want you to think about what happens to a person when they get saved. What does it mean if you say, I've been saved? These are those benefits from Psalm 103. To be saved means like you've had your iniquities pardoned. The wages of sin being death. It's nice to be forgiven. Right? But also, like the guilt that comes from having missed it, from having been lawless, from having done iniquity, the shame of it, the embarrassment of it. But when it gets forgiven, that shame, that embarrassment, that guilt can dissipate. I know people, perhaps you do too, that worry a lot, that other people might think them to be a bad person or to be a loser. I don't want anybody to think that I'm a loser. Well, of course you're a loser. We're all losers. But with the gospel, bad people get pardoned. Losers get forgiven. So, for the bad things that belong to you, those things where you're a loser, and if your iniquity is pardoned when you get saved, you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be guilty. You've been forgiven. It's been pardoned. It's not on the records. So you don't have to live both worrying whether people think you're a bad person or not, or guilty, and you don't have to live with the shame or embarrassment. Having done bad things, you've been a loser. Saved people, their iniquities have been pardoned. Heals all your diseases. That little word all is pretty amazing in there, isn't it? When you're saved, disease is not going to be a problem. It's an amazing thing. When you're saved, disease is not going to be a problem. Not going to be decisive for you. If you're saved, the saved people, he heals all of the diseases. Redeems our life from the pit. When you're saved, your life never has to be in the pits. It's a cool thing, right? Like, Roger, how are you today? I'm in the pits today. Aren't you saved? If you're saved, you don't have to be in the pits. Because your life gets redeemed from the pit. Crowns. Loving kindness and compassion. I like that just as a concept, for your life to be crowned. Covering everything else, you know, right up there on top. Ultimately, just covering everything else, right up on top for everybody to see, loving kindness in compassion. If I followed you around and you're a saved person, just to see you crowned, just to see your life crowned with the loving kindness and the compassion, always flowing down, always being active, just always covering all, always being the ultimate thing, just always loving kindness and compassion, just crowned with it because you're saved. Very cool. Satisfies your years with good things. If you are saved, you can live your years satisfied. Not very American, but very fitting, appropriate, possible for saved people to be satisfied. To be satisfied with good things. Doesn't mean you don't have any desires or interests or pursuits. Just means that your life because it's full of good things. Salvation has brought many good things, and you're satisfied. I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'm satisfied. And renews you like the eagle. You get knocked down. You grow weary. You feel the pressure. You encounter perplexity. Salvation picks you up. Renews your strength. Releases you from the thing that would corner you and press on you. It gives you light. Gives you understanding. Just renews you. So that you again mount up. And you soar. And can once again ride the wind. It's a very cool thing. Got lots of benefits if you're saved. They show through. So there's just out of Psalm 103. So I just want to show you a few more gleanings. Mostly from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, if you don't know, Isaiah is a book about salvation. His name means salvation is of the Lord. Yahweh saves. So lots of things in salvation. If you took your concordance and looked up saved words, you'd see in the Psalms and in the Isaiah are vying for the top spot. So just a few gleanings, mostly from Isaiah. So what it means to be saved, to be on the receiving end of the salvation of our God. So here's the first couple little lists. Out of Isaiah 12, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Simple words. When you're saved, you do not have to be afraid. When you are saved, you do not have to be afraid. You do not have to live in fear. There are lots of scary things. We all know that. But I pray that others notice that you do not live in fear from all the scary things. I pray that others notice that you do not live afraid of all the scary things. That when you're saved, you do not have to be afraid. If another asks, why aren't you afraid? You answer, I've been saved. Salvation of God. I'm not afraid. I trust in Him. If this one little verse, you can take this, if fear is a feature in your life, if being afraid is a feature in your life, this one little verse, salvation of God, you do not have to live being afraid. Doesn't mean there isn't anything scary out there. There are lots of scary things. It means salvation from God, you don't have to be afraid. Next one. You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Also in chapter 12. Saved people joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. If you're saved, I hope you act like a person who has a big well. I hope you act like a person that has a huge spring. And that you can go out and you can draw water from that spring anytime you're thirsty. Anytime you have need, you just waltz out there to the big well and joyously draw some life-giving water. I think there should be times where you say, you know what, I think I'll just jump in my car, I'm going to go over to go to the service at LCF. I'm just going to kind of like just go over there and kind of save person. I'm just going to draw some water from the well and get myself renewed and refreshed. Or I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to go for a walk, take my Bible, pray a little bit, sing a little bit. Just get to go joyously draw some water from the well that's come to me because of salvation. And you come back and we look at you and we go, you've been drinking from the well, haven't you? Yeah, sorry. I got a big one. Been drinking from the well. Salvation means you have this big spring. And you can draw water out of it. one from Psalm 95. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. I pulled this one up just because of the joyously in the previous verse. There are many references in Scripture that when you get saved, you know great joy. The joy of our salvation. A very common type of phrase. When David sins with Uriah and Bathsheba, part of what he prays to the Lord is, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." But when you get saved, if you're a saved person, there's just great joy. I mean, you just made it through the Red Sea on dry land. And then all those Egyptians who were chasing you, they didn't make it. They all got drowned. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. How about a high five? Joy. We just got rescued. And the enemies were destroyed. The snare is broken and we got away. No, we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Rejoice and be glad. That if you're saved, there's just this source and reality of joy. You got rescued. There was no hope. We were too far. We couldn't do it ourselves. And kind of like we got saved. How cool is that? Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or humiliated to all eternity. Saved people should live with confidence and assurance. Saved people will not be put to shame. Saved people will not be humiliated. Ever. Ever. To all eternity. That's a long time. The salvation is everlasting. So just a confidence and an assurance to the one who's been saved. There will be no cause for shame. Now I get all crash and burn and just be humiliated and I need to put a bag over my head. It's not going to happen to all eternity. Just confidence in the Lord. So when you're in some situation, there's all kinds of darkness, all the perversity, a lot of the sin that dominates every human life and the human culture. Should I say something about Jesus saving? Probably yes. Saved people don't get put to shame or humiliated forever. You probably need to know that. It won't be embarrassing or humiliating to tell them. Just an assurance. Jesus is the way to be saved. I'm not hesitant to say that, even if everybody else in the room thinks it's stupid. Isaiah 45:17. Saved people aren't humiliated, aren't put to shame forever. Next one. O afflicted one, storm-tossed, and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. I forget who said it, but somebody said, modern lives tend to be just lives that are lived in quiet desperation. Many do live lives of quiet desperation. Not very pretty. Lives that aren't very full. Lives that aren't very rich. Their schedule might be full. Got a lot of things on their phone that they have to go to and attend. A lot of places to go and people to see. Their bank account might be abundant, have a substantial balance. But their soul is impoverished. Life is empty. Life is ugly. I mean, routinely, you see them too on the internet, some big name, affluent star, commits suicide because they're depressed. You know, lives of quiet desperation. The emptiness inside, it's like a shell. So I put this one in, this reference, just as a reminder, that saved people can know something of beauty and of glory. Just, I don't know what all this stuff means. But can you sense just the beauty of it, in the glory, the fullness of it? Foundations in sapphires. We got a couple architects here. We got Manish and Steve, and we got more than that. We got three. We got Emily. You ever built a building whose foundations is sapphires? Yeah. Foundations in sapphires. Battlements of rubies. Gates of crystal. Just stunningly beautiful. Breathtakingly glorious. It's just so rich. So full. So multifaceted. So enduring. So just the glory of it. Just the beauty of it. That saved people can know something of just glory and beauty. Just over the top richness in fullness. Sapphires. We don't use them, put them in rings or on necklaces. We use them for foundation stones. That's pretty rich. Build our battlements out of rubies. So I hope salvation brings to you some sense, not of just barely scraping by, feeling kind of blue today, empty, washed out, hope to skate by one more day, doing the tough grind, participating in the rat race. But that salvation brings to you a sense of just huge glory, tremendous beauty, beyond what you could capture in the greatest literature or the best painter could put in the painting. Just so rich, so full, so deep. The prayers that Jordan just references can know how high and how deep and how broad and how wide is the love of God. Comprehend that. So next slide. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. I very much like this picture. If you're saved, you get a wardrobe that goes with it. The New Testament, of course, speaks of wearing as a helmet the helmet of salvation. As a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, just to have a mind that's governed. That the things that go on in your head are governed by the hope of God's salvation. It's a good way to think. It's very rare, in my opinion. You know, people who think in terms of just the hope that belongs to the salvation found in the gospel. But you put that hat on, wear that. I want to encourage us today, get decked out in your salvation wardrobe. So wear the stuff. Wear your good things shirt that the Lord satisfies your ears with. It's just my good things shirt. So many good things, just satisfied. Wear your happy pants. This is the joy of salvation, happy pants. The scarf of healing, who heals all your diseases. Disease, it's not going to be decisive for those who are saved. Got a nice scarf, I just wear it. A jacket of confidence and assurance. Never be humiliated or put to shame. I want you to wear stuff so that when you come in today and I look at you, I go, wow, you look saved today. Thing you got on your head and those robes that you're wearing and those things on your feet, you're looking saved. So the garments of salvation, just wear them. And then just one more. Out of Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Being saved does mean stuff for the future. It does mean stuff for when you die. Being saved means resurrection and everlasting life. Where death is swallowed up for all time. Where there's no more tears. Tears are wiped away for good. And no reproach. And it's said in the faith, this is the Lord for whom we have waited. that he might save us. So salvation does have huge things for the future. Things beyond the reach, beyond the power, beyond our wildest dreams. Wiping away all the tears. Wiping away all the reproach. Death swallowed up. Everlasting life. So were you to be asked, are you saved? Have you been saved? If you would answer yes to that question, if I asked you, have you been saved? Are you saved? If you would answer yes, I want to encourage you, don't forget the benefits. You're saying more than, yes, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. So again, this list isn't comprehensive. Probably you don't need all the things right present with you or that we even looked at today. But take hold of what belongs to the Lord's salvation, if it's come to you. So this week, wear your salvation wardrobe. Maybe that will be just a release from the guilt, the shame. Because you're always worried about others thinking you a bad person or a loser. But the pardoning of your iniquities just releases you from the shame, from the guilt, from the embarrassment. So you just put on your guilt-free jacket. Maybe you need your salvation wardrobe just, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to be afraid of all the scary things. I've been saved, for heaven's sakes. I've been saved for God's sake. I'm not afraid. Trust in him. Maybe what you need to wear this week is just joyously drawing water from the well. You could go out there, get a sip. Or a whole canteen full of the stuff from the springs of salvation. Just whenever you're thirsty, just gobs and gobs and gobs of it available. Maybe it's just going to be a quiet confidence and assurance. A resting in the Lord. A confidence in him. Eternal to all eternity. And just rest in that assurance. Maybe it's crowned with loving kindness and compassion. Put that tiara on of beauty and of glory. Foundation and sapphires and the battlements and rubies. Just a richness and a fullness. Maybe it's being satisfied with good things. So many good things. I'm just satisfied, Lord. Thank you. Maybe the gratitude that comes with it. Just my years are satisfied with good things. Maybe it's the hope that merits words like everlasting to all eternity. Hope that you're going to beat out death. This hope is going to outlast death itself. You know, I don't know what your need of your salvation, that great salvation that's come to you, but don't forget the benefits. Put the stuff on. Put the wardrobe on that came with it so that we can look at you and, man, you're looking saved. Looking good. So we've not yet talked about whether we need to be saved. Romans is going to help us with that. It's going to be a very serious discussion about all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've not yet talked about that. But I just wanted us to notice that being saved by the power of God, it's a pretty amazing thing. It's a pretty wonderful thing to be able to be asked, are you saved? And say, yes, I've been saved.